Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, it's Jess.
I'm Jen. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
You stumbled on the right podcast today.
Oh, yes, you did. You're in for a treat.
This is a beauty treat. Okay, we have the most amazing interview for you today. We've been waiting for this one. I feel like I've been saying that a lot lately. Like, we've been waiting for this one for a while. But I'm telling you, like, we're throwing out gems recently. Gems. Because we had some really good bookings come through. I'm going to tell you, we've been working on this for a while. The incredible Ismaya French is here today.
Yes. And I don't mind sharing like a little behind the scenes. Like some of these interviews we book are like months and like just last week, years in the making. And so Ismaya, we're so glad you joined us. Okay, so if you're not familiar with her work, you should be. She's a London-based artist and makeup artist whose work has been featured in ID, Love, Dazed. She's done window installations for Liberties in London, worked multiple fashion shows, served as a beauty ambassador to YSL Beauty, a consultant for Tom Ford Beauty, a creative director of Byredo Beauty. She's also a singer. Her group is Alto Arc, and she's contributed to several songs by the musician Sega Bodega. And I think she has something else coming out, too, that we talk about. Anyway, we've wanted to interview her for a while. As you know, it's perfect timing right now because she just launched pre-orders right now. She just launched her own makeup line, Ismaya. So, I mean, without further ado, I've never said that, but that feels right?
If you haven't seen her work, please just Google image. Google image, yeah. Okay? She's not like a makeup artist, like, you know, like your average bear makeup artist. This is an artist. Artist.
Like with Beauty TM, as you guys, you and she ended up calling it, like trademark, the big capital B beauty. But we have big concepts we talk about.
She's anti-Beauty TM. She's creating a new Beauty TM. She's creating a new beauty language.
Okay. With that, let's hear it. Here's Ismaya.
Okay, so Ismaya, you know, I was trying to explain who you were to somebody the other day, like somebody who is not really in beauty, and I was basically saying that you are a very important makeup artist, not just because you work with, you know, every big celebrity like Rihanna or Madonna, or that you have your own line, which we're going to talk about soon, but because you're somebody who really, in my view, but I know others would agree,
you've really like dared to introduce a new aesthetic or a new kind of like moment. And when I was trying to describe that aesthetic, I sort of like defaulted to this term. I called it something that, and I stole this from my friend Lucy. So Lucy, if you're listening, I stole this from you. Kind of like anti-beauty. Would you agree with that? Or like, how would you describe your this term? Like, what do you feel? What do you think about this? And if you hate it, you can tell me.
No, not at all. I mean, you're not the first person to call it that. I think that, you know, the thing with beauty, beauty is a kind of, it's just this word that we use to kind of describe a kind of an arbitrary thing that we all can kind of get our heads around. But I think beauty is like, beauty is such a personal thing. So I think when people say anti-beauty, I would assume they're talking about mainstream commercial beauty standards. I guess that's what I feel. Because when I look at my work, that's beauty to me. As in, I do what I feel is beautiful. Do you know what I mean?
Beauty with a capital B, like beauty TM, you know?
No, I totally understand what you're saying. No. But it's important because I think that idea of beauty is drastically changing. I think that beauty TM with a capital B is a very old-fashioned version of beauty TM. And I think like beauty TM nowadays is a much larger kind of all-encompassing perspective of lots of different styles of beauty TM. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of sound like I'm waffling on a bit, but it's really relevant, this whole thing about beauty, because we're really like, we are totally redefining what beauty is. And the last kind of 10 years have been maybe like a bigger shift than ever in terms of what that word beauty looks like.
Yeah.
So I think like you are right. I think the classic beauty TM, I think I did it was what I was doing was a bit anti-beauty, because I wasn't doing like contouring and kind of whatever. I was doing like face painting and prosthetics and stuff. But I think nowadays, if you look at like the millennials and Gen Z, that is their beauty TM. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting word to like think and talk about. And part of me sort of doesn't want to think and talk about it. And then there's another part that you sort of have to.
Wait, so I have a question. Do you think that if, that's funny you're saying like the millennials and younger millennials probably and like Gen Z, that is their beauty. Do you think that in like five years, 10 years, 15 years, it might go the other way and then we're back to a very conservative looking beauty?
Well, I do think that trends or movements or whatever, there's always like a reaction. But I think that we have just obviously come out of a period that was kind of dominated by, let's call it the Kardashian-esque look, which is super symmetrical, perfect, sculpted, blah, 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 in proportion type thing. And I think the reaction to that was to really try and be unique and different and explore as many iterations of that as possible. From a very homogenous look, we're now reacting to producing something totally, what's the opposite of homogenous?
Individual, yeah.
Individual. So that is a good question. We might kind of get bored of it. It might be too much effort. Because who can be asked to draw on freckles every day? And who can be asked to like shave their brows? You know, we might actually kind of relax a bit and actually embrace the individuality rather than trying to push it all the way.
Yeah. Okay. So like, tell me, you know, you started doing beauty, you know, quite young. You know, you've been doing this for like 10 years and God, you've packed so much in 10 years. It's crazy. But like when you started out doing beauty, like who shaped your ideas of beauty?
So, well, the first sort of introduction to beauty, really, it was when I was about 7 years old, and it was this Kevin O'Quarr Making Faces book. I was obsessed with it, and that was way before I was even thinking about makeup. Like, it wasn't, the makeup career was never ever on the horizon for me growing up. But I think my first sort of introduction into makeup was really through like a body painting route. I was doing industrial design, and as a side job, I got a job as a face painter because I turned out to be quite good at it. And then I just kept getting booked for jobs, body painting. And, you know, I didn't have any money and I didn't want a bar job and I didn't want to work in a restaurant. So I was doing this like part-time thing, face painting and body painting.
What was like a face painting? Like who would be the client for a body painting or a face painting job?
Anything from like kids to porn stars.
Okay.
You know, drawing on like sexy outfits on like a nude girl, or face painting 7-year-old kids, rich family in Hampstead.
You were doing birthday parties, like clown faces on kids?
Oh yeah, I did it for years.
Okay.
I think, and I attribute my fastness to working on like these moving targets.
That's so funny.
Do any of your, wait, I have a question. Do any of your old clients like know that the woman who came, the girl who came to their, you know, backyard, you know, party is now like freaking, you know, is Amaya French? Like, are you in touch with any of them?
I hope not. But I do every now and again get emails coming through to my email account, because it's like the same one that was linked to like my 20-year-old face painting, whatever it was, being like, hey, we have 20 kids on the 9th of July. Wondered how much you charge per hour. You know, we're just looking for like, you know, Star Wars characters and a couple of like unicorns and fairies if you can. And I, so I still.
Dude. Wait, what is this? Such a good video idea. You should actually go and then just do the Isamaya on them and turn these kids into like your creatures and your fabulousness.
Oh, Isamaya, I mean, this is the social content that would like set the world alight.
Okay.
We'll make it a TikTok. Let's think about it.
I'm sure you have time.
I mean, I have to say, you know, that I learned everything from doing that. Like, that really was an amazing education, just on the in the very kind of technical way of blending colors, brushwork, speed. It all comes like, you know, you've got to be really quick and confident with that kind of thing. You've got to think about face shapes. It sounds really kind of pathetic, but it's actually really was great for me. So doing all that, and then I was with this theatre company. I was a performer in this theatre company, and somebody asked me to do some body painting for a magazine, which turned out to be ID. Because he needed a body painter. So I kind of just went along with all my brushes and whatever. And I did this body painting, and I covered these models in clay. And there was actually like a professional makeup artist on set too. And I was like, what, scrubbing my brushes in the sink and like cleaning clay out from under my nails. And I looked over at her, and she was kind of sat there with all these like clean sort of really beautiful makeup kit. And I was just like, oh, that just looks so much better and easier than what I'm doing. And so I kind of thought, okay, I'm gonna make a career out of that.
That's awesome.
So I think that, anyway, sorry, back to your question, the root was the kind of, you know,
yeah,
colorful makeup-y face painting stuff.
So when you started, you know, working in the industry as a proper makeup artist, you know, you had said, this is from another interview that I read with you, you'd said that you'd noticed a lack of playfulness in the industry when you entered, like, you know, and you were coming in with a very different perspective. Now, that was 10 years ago. Fast forward to today. Do you still feel there's a lack of playfulness?
No way. I mean, it's amazing now. I have to comment on all the amazing makeup artists that, when I did get into makeup at the beginning, were very inspiring, like Alex Box, mm-hmm, Pat McGrath.
She's
obviously
my hair inspiration, Alex.
Oh, she's so great. She was a huge inspiration, yeah, to me, because she really was doing a lot of really amazing kind of colorful, painty, interesting, mm-hmm, work. Val Garland, obviously, Peter Phillips, Topolino. There's like loads of, you know, so to say people were doing boring stuff is not fair, because they really were. But I think,
yeah,
I think maybe in hindsight, we're talking like 10 years ago, maybe what I brought to it was just a kind of a bit more of an uneducated approach, a kind of an outsider approach, where I was, yeah, sort of tackling the face, not as a face to take the makeup, but makeup to take a face. So I was trying to abstract the face all the time. I was kind of putting paint and almost not even using the face in the way it kind of maybe should have been. And I think that just was a slightly different perspective. And I was really young. I was like I was 20. And I think there, you know, just that sort of playful attitude maybe came through.
Yeah. You mentioned that shoot where you were like the clay cleaner and painter, and there was the proper makeup artist. Was that like a breaking moment where you decided to make the switch, or did you have a big break where like ID then, you know, booked you as like the face painter, not the body painter? Like, what was your big break?
Well, after that, I got booked by a designer called Christopher Shannon, a British designer. He did menswear. And I did face painting in his shows. And I painted these kind of landscapes on the models' faces as they were going down the runway, like sunsets and stuff. And backstage, I met a makeup artist called Adam De Cruz, and he was like, "What is this girl doing? Like, I've never seen this kind of thing before." And he was like, "Look, do you want to join me on set for a day? You can see how I work, and you can show me some of your techniques." So we kind of did that, and I went, and he showed me how to conceal and do a little bit of kind of basic stuff, and then I showed him some of my, like, you know, blending and doing other things, whatever, in the kind of the body painty style. And then I just kind of, I don't even know really what came next. I think I just was in a circle where there were photographers and people around me who were testing and working for free and doing shoots. And it was amazing, like, creative time in London where everybody was just working for free and testing all the time. And I just kind of, yeah, linked up with some people and brought my, you know, very small kit to set and stuff, and just kind of went from there, really.
Is your kit still small?
No, my kit's like, 90 kilos or something, 80 kilos.
Oh, wow.
In multiple multiple rollies? Like, how do you travel?
Yeah, I carry it in these, like, Burton snowboard suitcases.
My friend and other makeup artist says she loves those bags.
Oh, they're the best, yeah. So, yeah, it's in my snowboard bag.
Who were some of the other people at this time in London that you were collaborating with? At this point, you've collaborated a lot. Art, musicians, other makeup artists. Mm. What are some that feel really personal to you?
I mean, I think some of the post, like, all kind of testing and whatever, some of my sort of biggest breaks, I think, were at the beginning with ID Magazine. And I did some great shoots with Daniel Sanwald, where we did, and Simon Foxton, the stylist, where we were kind of, I got to do a lot of really cool, like, painting stuff. I, like, tattooed all these funny sort of characters all over a boy. And then I did this prosthetic lizard face for another shoot for Interview Magazine. And Interview Magazine also, I did quite a lot of fun stuff for. And it really was like, every time I got booked, there was something really, like, full on, colourful, crazy. And that was really nice. And then shows as well. I remember Aggie and Sam, I did these Lego masks where I was like, the whole thing was inspired by kind of kids. And so I was like, how would kids approach a face? Well, they'd probably just chuck something at it, wouldn't they? And just see what lands. So that's kind of what I did. I chucked Lego at face and just stuck it where it kind of landed. And so it was all just about kind of exploring interesting ways of approaching the face, I guess.
So now, you know, you're talking about, like, you know, your vibe is so different than, like, really any other makeup artist that we've certainly interviewed, and we've interviewed a ton of makeup artists. You have a really singular vision. You know, no one else is talking about chucking Legos at a face, you know, for a fashion show, you know. But, you know, you're talking about in the beginning, like, you're working these very, like, editorial gigs, and now you've worked with so many massive, like, corporate designers and corporate fashion houses that are hiring you for, you know, their ad campaigns. Like, it's a real, sorry, I feel like I'm blowing smoke, you know, like, up your butt, but, like, you know, it's a coup. It's a coup to have, like, Isamaya French, you know, your ad campaign. But, and I'm not asking you to name names. I'm genuinely curious. Do you ever get on set and you do the Isamaya French thing and maybe, like, that's not actually at the end of the day what they wanted?
It's been quite rare that happens. I think one thing that I really love and that I think I'm good at, and I, because I love it, is collaboration. You know, I never go into anything just trying to do my own thing and push my own card or whatever you call it. And I think that when you do an editorial, when you do anything, that should be the approach. It's about collaboration. It's about the bigger picture. It's not about putting yourself first. It's about the image coming first. So if ever there's a, you know, you always kind of get briefed, you always sort of ask opinions, and I'll never just go off and do my own thing. I'll always sort of speak to stylists and say, oh, I've got this idea, what do you think about doing that? And green light, red light, whatever. So it is kind of rare that, and I would imagine it's quite rare for most people, that their sort of ideas are really shunned, especially in a collaborative environment like that. I think one thing that's quite interesting maybe more recently is, you know, my schooling, because I've had 10 years, like you say, of things didn't happen overnight. I built up my kind of portfolio and my techniques over a very long period of time. So I, you know, I really have kind of honed in on a craft of it. But I was, you know, the way I did learn was in the kind of the high fashion sense of makeup. So skin should look like skin. Everything should be really kind of high end, like runway model kind of technique. One thing I have noticed recently is people, generally celebs, they don't want that anymore, that's for sure. They want the Instagrammable makeup look, which is just something I've had to readjust a little bit myself, because...
Wait, celebs want what? They don't want skin to look like skin, they want Instagram makeup? The celebrities want
that? Yeah. They want a full beat, you know? And so that... There have been a few occasions where I've done what I've thought was like an amazing skin. Like, the, you know, she looked gorgeous. And she was like, where's the makeup? I was like, what do you mean? You know, it's that kind of mentality, because people are so used to, especially like front-facing media types, to having a full beat where you don't see any skin for miles. And it's just, you know, that's just what people want now. You know, it's just like a readjustment and an understanding. It's certainly not the case for like editorial or for fashion shows. Clients still want that like very kind of polished high-end thing. But for personalities, makeup's a very different thing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. And is that for like, do you do IRL like red carpet? Or are you talking about somebody for a magazine photo shoot, but with a more commercial kind of look?
Yeah, both. Yeah, I do red carpet. I kind of do it all. But I guess I just mean the few times where someone has said, oh, you need to redo this or this isn't right. That's been because I haven't like concealed up to the high heavens. You know, like giving them a whole new face type thing.
Yeah, it gets into that definition of beauty. It's like, is it their definition, your definition, and the world's definition?
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, it's interesting.
Do you think that comes from like insecurity or like practicality? Like, yo, I got this needs to last the whole day. I've got like 12 hours of, you know,
press
stuff.
I mean, 100% both. Doing a full beat will look good for like 12 hours when you're having a photo taken from every angle. And it's just a very different approach. And I think people are very used to that. So often I think celebs that are doing photo shoots aren't aware that there's a whole other thing that happens post. You have retouching and you have lighting and the whole thing's like this beautiful organic thing that comes together with gorgeous skin and the like, they don't really know necessarily that that's how it works because they're just used to having this hard makeup cake look. And it's, but listen, cool, good for them. Like, everyone can do whatever they want. It's just need to be briefed, don't you?
I'm just wondering, like, if I were a celebrity, like, what I'd want. Jen, yeah. What would you want? Did you want the full beat or would you want, like, a light
there's something about the armor of makeup for me. Like, it's like putting on the game face, you know? And I think that it gives people comfort to have that shield between them and the audience.
You're totally right. And I think also, you know, definitely, if you're on the red carpet or if you're having a candid image photo taken, a full beat can save your life in certain events. It literally, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't want like a sweaty forehead or whatever. It can. It's true, isn't it?
So, I'm just like, a full beat can save your life.
Not the timeline I pictured for you, Zamea.
Not that I enjoy doing them or wear them myself, but
yes.
Oh my God.
No, it has its time and place. Yeah, I get it.
I'm just picturing like a celebrity like in that wrong moment of them like taking out the garbage or, you know, like at a restaurant, like kind of like yelling at somebody or like a scowl. If you don't have a full beat, you can look like...
Well,
you know,
what occurred to me the other day is, you know, everyone's obsessed with the 90s, right? Everyone's obsessed. Y2K.
It's not just like, me. Yeah.
Early 2000s, whatever. Like we're all really obsessed with that at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think it's because that was like the final frontier for people who didn't have a full beat and they were caught real life. There are pictures of Paris Hilton looking sweaty. There are pictures of Jennifer Aniston with like a greasy T-zone at a party, hot, Lindsay Lohan, all this kind of thing. There's that real element of reality that we just don't have anymore because we are so far past that, that everything is retouched, that everything is sculpted. And I think that's why we're so obsessed because it's really exciting because it's genuine.
Just the way people like they don't look like stupid and styled to the hilt. They look like they do their own hair or they didn't do their, you know, they just look like normal.
It's real, aren't they? They're normal. It's relatable. It's exciting. It's relatable. It's like they're like breathing and sweating and having a real life. And I think there's something very sort of desire. We love reality TV. And I think there's some kind of interesting connection there to that period and any period really before that, that you just don't really get anymore, especially with like, celebrity culture.
Yeah. Even the celebrities who go out now, like, you know, they're expecting, like, even like New York, like, they get a pap shot, like, they, you knew that they were, like, expecting to be photographed coming out of a hotel.
They called the photographers themselves. Who are we kidding? You know how it works. Like,
exactly.
Or they wear the same shirt every day so they don't get the picture. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason Jack Nicholson isn't papped. Do you know what I mean? Or, like, he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, totally. I just read about Ben Affleck just like wearing the same shirt every day so they couldn't sell photographs of him because it looks like it's the same
that's
day.
Really funny. Yeah.
When I get famous, that's going to be my tactic. Yeah, no,
that's quite good actually.
No, it's a good point about the Y2K era, which was a fabulous time too. Now, you've worked with all of these brands. We didn't really mention some of them, but like you've done creative consulting for like Burberry, Byredo, all of these. Now you're doing your own thing. We have to talk about it. How did this happen? Was this like ground up? You went out, I've got an idea. Did someone approach you? Tell us everything.
So, I mean, it's been sort of 2 years in the making. I can't remember how it came about, but it came about because I was just, you know, ready to do my own thing. And I have been behind a number of brands now. And developed full-blown, you know, everything from being in the lab, developing the colours, to the directing the campaigns, to working on marketing strategies. I've done it all now with other brands. And I guess I kind of felt like it's been an amazing experience doing all of that. But it's never been me fully. And I think that's just at some point, if you're an artist or whatever, artist, makeup artist, I think it's important to do something that feels like it's you, if that's what you want. And I think it just became what I wanted. So, yeah, I'm having a really great time with it. And, of course, it's daunting and, you know, you have no idea how people react to it. But what can you do other than try your best and just do what feels right?
No, I get it's scary because it's your vision. So there's nothing to fall back on. The result is your hands and your touch. So what did you want it to say? Like, what is Industrial, your first collection, all about?
The concept with the brand really is that when I was thinking about it, I couldn't imagine what a product that I would design would look like on a shelf for 10 years. I just couldn't get my head around having this one looking theme, you know? And so I was thinking, it's not fair. Like, fashion designers get to do four or whatever, you know, things a year. I want to do that. Yeah. So I decided that I wanted to do collections in the same kind of, you know, spring, summer, autumn, winter, for whatever resort, I don't know, Christmas, holiday. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm going to have four drops a year of small capsule collections, and they'll all be totally different. And I think also it's a way to not only just sort of express what I feel like expressing, but there are so many people out there, I think, that love makeup, but maybe don't really necessarily connect with it because, like this collection I've just done, the Industrial collection, it's not very feminine. It's kind of inspired by BDSM culture, by punk, underground culture. It's a very different vibe from mainstream makeup. And I like the idea that maybe there's a group of kids that could align with that and be excited by it, and they could feel like that was them. Because, you know, I've sort of, one thing that people ask is about transformations and makeup to transform you. And I feel when you wear makeup personally, makeup should make you be more of who you are. I don't want to put makeup on and transform into someone else. I want to be more of my authentic self, whether that's goth me, whether that's like girly me, whether that's sexy hook up with me, you know, person. And so I feel like that's what this is about. That's what this brand's about.
So it's almost like each collection might have a totally different audience depending on who's vibing with it.
I'm assuming it probably will because they're very different. Yeah.
So what are some of the other future collections going to be about? Or are you just fantasy? Like, what are you thinking about?
I just can't
But we have to wait
you.
For the drop?
Yeah. The next one's in October.
So okay. If you're not feeling the BDSM Industrial vibe, just wait.
Yeah, hold out.
It's a very interesting analogy, the fashion one, though, because it's true. If we think about, like, people like to say that beauty is like fashion, but it's really not because you still want that brown eyeshadow and you're going to use it all year long. This is more like a fashion piece that is special that you'll use when you want to wear the industrial look.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing is for sure, I like the idea of these pieces being reusable or repurposed. You know, when I thought about what I wanted my brand to be, sustainability is really important for me, and I'm totally aware that it's a lot, you know, it has to be this long-term goal because it's impossible to be sustainable overnight. So one of the things that I've hired a sustainability consultant who's amazing, and she's helping me work through every collection, advising me on the right materials, on how to basically be better in all senses, from the environmental impacts to materials to the actual product and that kind of thing. But we talked about the idea of giving things a second life. And I've worked with Vivian Westwood for a long time, and her philosophy is do more with less. And I love that. And so in that spirit, a lot of the pieces in the collection, or at least some of them, will have these second lives. So a palette might be then come a jewellery box when you've finished with it and you take out the insert. Or in the Industrial collection, you actually can reuse. It's all jewels, you know, stainless steel jewelry that you can reuse, that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's a couple of things that felt really important to kind of move forward with for the brand.
That's so funny. We just had a guest on who said simplify to amplify. And it's the same vibe you just said that you and, you know, Vivian's like ethos. So
totally,
very cool.
Totally.
Tell me about your fans, because I suspect that your fans might be a little bit different than, you know, the average, like, beauty brands fans.
I feel like the people, I think because my work is really varied, and I do use a lot of special effects and, you know, sometimes a bit of gore, and it's more of like an artistry type vibe, I guess. I think they probably expect more from me, and I want to give them more as well. You know, this brand isn't, it's not just about the products. I think it's about the bigger message as well, that you can do so much more with the one thing that I felt really sad about with some of the other brands that I've worked with over the years, or just shoots in general, is that everyone starts out with this amazing big idea and the mood board looks fantastic and there are all these exciting pictures and it all looks great. And then the ideas just kind of get diluted as you go, as you work, by whoever, by the guy in the suit, by the PR, by the marketing. And so often amazing concepts are just completely kind of destroyed by opinion, I suppose, or whatever, by, you know, commercial incentives and stuff. And I just didn't want to do that with my brand, because I feel I'm the person to answer to now. And it's just so nice to be able to just go like full throttle and do a proper idea and do a really creative thing and just be, you know, unapologetic about it. Because I think at the end of the day, actually, people do want to sort of see exciting stuff.
They do.
I hope they do, at least. That's what I'm trying to do.
I think they do. Very cool. Yeah. And also, you are, you know, more than just a makeup artist. You know, have a band. You are a true artist.
You're so nice, aren't you?
I'm nice, but I don't say things that aren't true. So, you know, you came out with some music earlier this year. What else do you have up your sleeve? Like, what else is like on your agenda for?
Shout out to Altawark. Well, some other things I'm really looking forward to. I've just in lockdown, actually, I wrote an album with a friend of mine, Sam Thomas. So we just shot a video for that. So we're releasing that quite soon. And that really was just like lockdown project. 2 years of just, you know, in his studio pretty much every day writing music together, which was really, really amazing. And now that's come full circle. So we're doing these creative videos and putting my makeup into it and stuff. So that's great. And then I'm working on a much bigger project, which is a documentary about global beauty aesthetics. So that's like a big sort of meaty seven part series kind of asking the question, like, who defines our beauty ideals? You know, where do they come from? Are they informed by culture or by big brands or literally genetics? Where do they come from, especially looking at it from a real global perspective? Why, you know, women in Korea choose to shape their face in a particular way versus like women in America who might get jaw implants? Or, you know, there's so many. And also the question of gender, the LGBTQ community look at beauty, what it means to them, trans beauty, which has changed so sort of rapidly in the last few years. So I think it's a really amazing kind of meaty thing to get involved in.
So are you producing this yourself?
So I'm actually working with a production company, Iconoclast, who I'm repped by, and I'm really excited about it.
It sounds amazing. Cannot wait. That is right up our alley.
Okay, that's so cool.
take off your global beauty aesthetic for a second and come back to Ismaya and tell us, like, what are your must-have products? Like, you're not doing lizard face when you go out tonight. Maybe you are. I don't know. Like, what's in your kit? Like, what's your everyday use?
I'm like a chef who eats fast food. I'm not really, you know, I just a bit of a hot flannel and some
like
soap.
What's the fast food diet then?
Do you know what? A really good emollient, like an eczema cream, is great for everybody. I don't know if you have double base over there or whatever, your Eucerin or whatever, but that's really, really good. Because it kind of I'm sure it's full of petroleum and stuff. It probably is, but it's great if you have skin problems. It really is. Some people can't use any products because they have huge reactions to them, especially products with...
Are you speaking for other people or yourself? Are you like a sensitive skin type then? This is your thing?
No, my skin used to be tough as leather, but actually since I've had to really like use it a lot more for shoots and stuff, it has become quite sensitive. And that's one of the things that I kind of stick by morning and night. And then I use a vitamin C. I love a SkinCeuticals vitamin C serum, watery thing. Azelaic acid works really well for me. Yeah, I use azelaic acid and a retinol.
What do you smell like, Ismaya?
Right now?
I mean, like the way you phrased that, Jen. What do you smell like, Ismaya?
We've established I'm in my pants, sitting on my bed in my pants. It's not all a pretty picture.
It came out funny, guys. I meant, like, do you wear fragrance?
I like it. It's straightforward. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I wish more people were like you. I smell like... do you know what? I go through phases where I get really into perfume. I worked at Byredo for many years and I'm, you know, love their perfumes. I love 1996. Inez and Vanood developed that with them, and it's kind of got that patchouli essence in it, and I really love that. There's a brand called Molecule, which is really cool. It's, you know, it kind of changes depending on your body's pH or something.
Oh, so 001 is your, because they have a bunch, but that's the,
that's
a good one.
001, yeah.
Again.
Yeah, that's cool. And then there's this, someone sent me a really lovely perfume. It's called Urania's Children.
What?
Great name. It's cool, isn't it?
That's
wild. That's really beautiful packaging, and it's kind of got star constellations and Urania's Children. I think it's Urania's Children. Yeah, that's a nice one.
What's it smell like? I'm already digging the branding and packaging, but like,
I can't really remember.
I just looked it up. Like Urania's Children. Okay, shop now. Urania's
Real-time
Children.
Real time research.
Urania's Children and the Heavenly Garden. Oh my God. A pop-up just came up, and there was born a love of cosmic grandeur. Subscribing at 10% off your first bottle. Yes, please. Oh my gosh.
It's sort of strong, but it's a very unusual scent, and it's interesting. I like it.
I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued too. Hey, before we let you out of here, we do like a speed round of questions at the end of every interview. Are you up for it?
Of course, yeah.
Quick. It's like word association. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, super easy.
Word association. So you say something and then I say something.
I made it sound like quicker than it is. As I ask you a question, it's the first thing that comes to your mind, really.
All right, okay. Oh my God, free association.
Kind of, it's just easy.
Okay.
Okay, ready? What's the beauty product you first fell in love with?
Hair mascara.
Hey, really? Do you remember the brand?
Yeah, I bought it in Miss 60, and it was like a neon yellow and a neon pink, and it's just literally like, you know, you just do the front of it, and it just, your hair is literally sort of as stiff as straw and like sort of awful but cool for a teenager.
Well.
Yeah.
None of the brands did it right. I don't think by nature it's not gonna be nice for anyone.
Awful
okay, ready?
Product.
Yeah. Movie you can watch over and over.
Terminator 2.
Yes, I think we can see that in your work. Industrial collection.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Schwarzenegger fan. Like you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe.
Have you met him yet?
Oh, so. I bumped into him in Gold's Gym, like the last time I was in LA. Obviously, it was in Gold's Gym. My friend was like, let's head over to Venice and walk about. And we walked past Gold's and I was like, oh, fuck it. Let's go in and have... And we literally crossed paths in the lobby. And I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't speak. And I just sort of stared at him with my mouth open and... his bodyguard or something made some like stupid comment at me. I've kicked myself ever since, because how could I be such a loser and like not have just walked up to him and I don't know, tried to plant one on him or something. I've never been more disappointed with myself.
That's exactly how that interaction needed to go. That's perfect.
You planting one on our Schwarzenegger. I love it.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. Okay. Most indulgent snack.
Do you love chips?
Which ones? Which ones? Details.
Oh, so no, like, you know, thick.
Like French fries?
Fries. The thick ones, the like English ones. Like fish and chips type. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Most played song on your playlist right now.
Can I just go into my Spotify quickly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Then you have to tell us what it is. You're not allowed to like pick the cooler one that's further
no,
down.
No, it's fine. I'm
because that's
cringe,
what I would do.
Cringe but free, it's fine. Oh, an 070 Shake song. It's the first song off the 070 Shake album called Web.
I'm not familiar, but I'll check it out. Thank you.
Yeah,
for opening up my mind. Okay. And then if your life were made into a movie, who would be the narrator?
Oh, Werner Herzog.
Get out.
Yes. Another one of my heroes. Now that I would freak out if I met him at Gold's Gym. I would fall at his feet.
Yeah. Likewise.
That's a good one. Oh, this
very
was
cool.
Fun.
This was a good
one. That's it.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt, did it?
She got all stressed out too, guys. Like she was just like, oh God, like your whole body language changed. Like we were really trying to dig deep into your soul.
Did you think it was going to be like a bad show?
No, not at all. I loved it. It was probably one of the most enjoyable interviews I've had. It was great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I loved it.
Congrats on your new launch, which just came out, and we'll put links and stuff in the show notes. It was so great having you on Fat Mascara.
Guys, thank you. Thanks again for having me and for rearranging it so many times to accommodate. So thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.